When I began preparing this sermon, I asked myself the question, what are the last words that I would like to leave with you? So I decided that I wanted to tell you about my profound love of cooking. I have loved cooking for as long as I can remember. From the moment I could walk, my grandmother, Mimi, had me on a stool helping prepare dinner and then cleaning the kitchen afterwards. Now, I'm not particularly fond of cleaning the kitchen now, but when I was a kid, I loved cleaning the kitchen with my Mimi. Between my mom and my dad and my Mimi, I knew how to cook very early on. I would make dinner for my family in the summers so that when mom and dad came home for work, dinner was ready. But one of my favorite things to do is to watch those that I cook for eat their meal and enjoy their meal. It's one thing that I can offer to them to show them that I love them. Eventually, cooking would become a spiritual practice for me, a place where I find God. And the more complicated the recipe, the more joy I find. Over the years, I have cooked many meals and tried many recipes. Some of them worked, some of them did not. But through all of it, I found one recipe that I consider my absolute favorite. And I cook it at least once a year for a group of family or friends. This recipe comes from this book. This is Mastering the Art of French Cooking by Julia Child. This cookbook holds some of the most complicated recipes I have ever made. And the recipe found on page 315 is no different. It's called Bœuf Bourguignon. It takes about 4 hours to make, and it is made up from many ingredients, some of which lay on the altar today, excluding the squash. It's not in it. Like any good recipe, it calls for bacon and olive oil and stewing beef and carrot and onion and salt and pepper and flour and beef bouillon, tomato paste, garlic, cooking wine, flour, thyme, bay leaf, and small pearl onions. And if you've never peeled a pearl onion, it's an exciting thing that takes a very long time. While some of these ingredients can be good on their own, many of them need each other to make it good. The first time I made this recipe, I made it with my best friend who lives in England now. We had just watched Julie and Julia and decided that we wanted to make it just like Julia Child. We bought the ingredients, and as we cooked, I kept thinking, how is this really going to taste? It seemed like a very diverse list of ingredients to me. But as we continued to follow the recipe, we began to smell the aroma of the dish. It was a rich smell, but it was nothing compared to the taste of the dish. The moment you put it in your mouth, the meat just melts there. And the mix of the ingredients make one of the most delectable dishes I have ever had. This morning, we find in our scripture reading words that are probably some of the most familiar words from the Bible. These words were written to a church who, much like the diverse ingredients of Bœuf Bourguignon, was made up of a very diverse people. There were Greeks and Jews, slaves and free people, men and women, rich and poor, who would come together in this one place, being unified only by their love of Christ. Paul was writing to remind them that their diversity is a good thing. At moments, the people of Corinth struggled greatly with unity and disunity, much like we struggle now. But Paul seemed to be clear in his writing that he was wanting to help the Corinthian people understand that each one is given gifts by God. And when all of those who use their gifts put them together, it makes a beautiful family who not only comes together to worship, but to laugh, to enjoy each other's company, to fellowship with one another, to be with one another in the good times and the bad times. They simply live life together. Over the last 9 years, I have watched you as you have lived life together. There have been moments where we have failed to love well, but there have been other moments when we have loved so well. I have watched as people gave of their time to build a better world for those around them by offering them a warm smile or food to eat, or using their abilities to do a certain task like building a house or cutting down trees that were in the way. I have watched you gather for funerals and weddings, speaking words of comfort and joy, and offering meals as a way of saying, we love you and we are with you. I have watched teenagers in this sanctuary, when the only light that was lit were the candles lit for them, pray with one another, love one another, by simply being with one another. While the gifts that Paul talks about may not seem to be directly related to these examples, they are. Some of us have the gift of leadership to gather those together to complete a certain task or to simply make something happen. Some in here have the gift of teaching, that at times shows up in recognizing your student's favorite donut and making sure you bring it for them every week, so that they are not only learning about the Bible, but they are learning how loved they truly are by this group of people. Some of you have the gift of compassion, who seeks to understand people by walking alongside of them through the good and through the bad. Some of you have the gift of faith, who possess a deep confidence in God and in God in their lives. This may sound small or minor, but it has a great effect because there are moments when each of us need that person to come alongside of us to have faith when we cannot. Some of us have the gift of helping, those people who work behind the scenes to do what needs to be done. Some have the gift of knowledge, those people who can take what they learn and make helpful to those who may not understand. And there are so many other gifts. I wish I had the time to tell you about all that I see here and all of the ways that you already use the gifts you were given. Paul makes it very clear, though, that these gifts are all gifts that differ from one another. There are so many gifts, even in the list that I just mentioned, that I do not possess. And it's very likely that the same could be said for each one of us here. We cannot possess all the gifts needed on our own. Paul writes that these gifts are meant to be for the common good. To define common good, it's a noun that means the benefit or interest of all. One of the things that Paul means by this is that these gifts are not meant to be used just for your individual lives. They are to be used in community. It is in this community that when the gifts are used, the body of Christ begins to become more evident in our own lives, but also in the lives of others. Danny Jones, a former NFL football player, once said, "When it all boils down, it's about embracing each other's stories and maybe even finding that synergy to collaborate for the common good." Interestingly, Danny doesn't start with just talking about the gifts. He starts by learning the people's story. Throughout this church, there are a lot of stories. Some have been told, and some haven't. It is through the stories of our lives that we can begin to see the gifts in one another. And it is through the stories of our lives that we can begin to recognize how we can flavor the world by simply being who God created us to be, by using the gifts that God has given us. While Danny wasn't talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, he hit the nail on the head. When we embrace one another, we can find our collaboration with one another by using the ingredients that God has given us for our lives. And it can make a beautiful body. Isn't it amazing how a recipe can remind us not only of the joy of eating the food that is made, but it can remind us that like each ingredient, we are a part of something bigger and greater. We are a part of a family. And it takes each of us to bring our own flavor or our own stories to the mix to make us whole. Earlier this week, someone came to my office, and as we talked, she said to me, "It's like I'm losing a part of my family." I have thought about those words all week long because I feel like I am losing a part of my family too. But the good news is, just because I leave this place and I leave you in the capable hands of Rob, I know that I will take you with me in my heart, but also in the lessons that you taught me, in the words that you have spoken to me, in the ways that you have supported me, and in the ways that you have supported others, and in giving me the opportunity to not only be your pastor, but to be embraced as a part of this family. As I leave this place, I am grateful for the gifts that God has shown me over these years and for being given the opportunity to see the gifts that God has given you and to see you use those gifts for the common good. Please don't stop, because it is in you that God has given this community of Cookeville, Tennessee a gift. Not because we are more special than the rest of the churches or the people, but because you are answering God's call to serve those around you with those around you. May each of us remember that we have our own gifts and our own stories, and that it takes each gift and each story to make us who we are as a body of Christ and as a family of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may the people of God say,